We're in Acts chapter 21, 21st chapter of the Acts. And we're going to read the first 16 verses this morning, for they're very instructive. And we read, and it came to pass that after we had gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over into Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, and there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those things, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we would lodge. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, having read this portion concerning the travels of our brother Paul, the one who could say at the close of his life, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Help us, our Father, to glean truth from this portion of thy word, so that we'll run the race with patience, and a crown will be awaiting us. To this end, our God, we ask you to direct our hearts and our minds as we consider him who is worthy to be praised, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This coming Thursday is the most scriptural holiday that we keep, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a scriptural holiday. The Word of God says, in everything give thanks. Excuse me, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's on his way to give thanks to the people at Jerusalem, for he's carrying a large gift for them, a gift that had been collected from the Gentile churches. For we read about that gift in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, and that gift was really started in 1 Corinthians, and he talks about it in chapter 16. And his going up to Jerusalem is a very real thing. We know that he's going to be arrested there. We know that he's eventually going to go to Rome as a prisoner, the result of this trip. But we also know that he could say at the close of his life, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Now, we see here the strong desire of Paul to go to Jerusalem. And why? We must ask the question why. And his desire was that he might present Christ to his own kinsmen according to the flesh, the Jewish people. Now we saw in our last study, Paul with the Ephesian elders, and he told the Ephesian elders to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Then he used himself as an example. He used himself as an example as to how they should conduct themselves in various areas of ministry in order that they might please God in the performance of the work that they did. But now in our passage this morning, the Holy Spirit brings two more examples before us. And the first is the company of disciples that traveled with Paul. They found disciples of the Lord at a place called Tyre, verses 3-5. G. Campbell Morgan asked the question, do Christian travelers today call in at Tyre and seek disciples of the Lord? When you go away on vacation, do you seek the disciples of the Lord? And these of Paul's company looked for them. Now, we have something special. Whenever you hear the word Tyre and Sidon, what do you think about? I think about our Lord's statement in Matthew 11, where he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago. In other words, God expects us to witness for him. But there's a second example. Not only the disciples of Paul seeking disciples at Tyre, but the second example is that of Philip and his family. With this portion of the Acts, we can draw some definite pictures of this man, Philip, and we want to notice three things about him this morning. First of all, his position in the church. Our text here says he was one of the seven. The reason he was one of the seven, when we studied chapter 6, he was one of the seven that were chosen to be a deacon in the church at Jerusalem. And he was a man who was full of faith. That's one of the reasons he was chosen. He was full of faith. He had developed faith, and faith had developed him. These two things go together. It is impossible to develop faith without faith developing you. And it is a conforming us to the person of Christ. It's not simply a knowledge of the Word of God, but it is that development of faith in us that gives us confidence and enables us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Savior. He was a man full of faith. But more than that, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He was under the control of the Holy Spirit. And a person who is under the control of the Holy Spirit is under the control of the Word of God. When you take the two passages, the one in Colossians and the one in Ephesians, and put them together. In Ephesians we read, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a good passage. Be controlled by the Spirit. When you get to the Colossians passage, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, it is to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the word of God. To be filled is to be controlled. And to be controlled by the word of God. In other words, what our Lord said in John 7 and verse 37 was evident in the life of Philip. The rivers of living water flowed and were evident in him. Now, he was chosen to serve. He was one of the seven. God blessed his service, as he will all those who serve. For we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, that they who have used the office of the deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and much boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So we find Philip had a position in the church. But second, I want you to think with me about Philip and his preaching in Samaria. For his preaching in Samaria taught us what his position had wrought for him in the church at Jerusalem. Philip had left his position at Jerusalem, being a deacon there in the church, in order to become an evangelist. And he became an evangelist because of the persecution that arose by the man who was now living under his roof. Isn't that a strange coincidence? The man living under his roof was the man who was formerly Saul of Tarsus. He's now Paul, the beloved apostle. But Philip, he was scattered from Jerusalem because of this fellow's persecution, but now this man is living under his roof. What about the ministry of Philip? Well, notice, first of all, it was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Philip left a good and prosperous campaign in Samaria because he was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. He was led, first of all, by circumstances. The circumstances of pressure. The pressure that was caused by persecution. But then he was led by an angel of the Lord. It was the angel of the Lord who told him, go down into the desert on the way to Gaza. There's a man there that needs to be won to Christ. And he went there. And he was led of the Spirit. So he not only is a man who is led by circumstances, he is a man who is led by the Spirit of God. But third, he's a man who was led by the inner voice of the Spirit. The Spirit of God said to him, go, join yourself to that chariot. And he ran and joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. And of course, when we look at this man, Philip, as an evangelist, he was a man who was simple in his presentation of the gospel. For the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he began at that same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. In other words, he knew the doctrine of substitution. For the Ethiopian eunuch asked the question, is the prophet speaking about himself or someone else? And he spoke to him about the person of Christ. Furthermore, he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch after the eunuch manifested faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But then we find that this man Philip not only preached the gospel in Samaria, but he was steadfast in his outreach for Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 40 we read that he preached in all cities until he got to Caesarea. He was a man who was steadfast in his outreach. But what is before us in particular in our passage this morning, for we want to get a well-rounded look at this man, Philip. Not only would he have a position in the church, and not only did he preach in Samaria, but I want you to notice his piety in the home. The first thing we read about him, we read that he was a man given to hospitality. And we read about Paul and his companions, who tarried many days. How would you like to have a caravan of people come and stay in your home for that length of time? Paul and his companions tarried many days. I'll never forget the first time that my wife and I opened our home for hospitality. It was a great lesson. We had all kinds of fears. We didn't know what to expect. But Brother Patterson and his wife came. They were coming. They needed a place to stay. No one else offered, so they came to us. It was the best thing that ever happened to us. And they stayed close to a month. It was a blessed time. A blessed time. When the Word of God talks about being given to hospitality, the best times in our home were when we had company missionary or someone else. They have more to teach your children than the television can ever show them. They have something to give. I listened to Elizabeth Elliot on WHPE in the morning. She's one of the best theologians you want to listen to. And she had a lady with her on the program who was speaking about homeschooling children and the importance of education in the life of the children. And Elizabeth asked this lady a question. She said, what role does television have in the teaching of children? And she said, well, and this is how she answered it. Well, if someone came to you and rapped on your front door today and you opened the door, and that person said, I want to teach your children today, and you didn't know that person, would you let them teach? And yet we expose our children to a TV set quite a few hours of the day, and all the while it is teaching. It is teaching. The piety of Philip in the home. He was a man given to hospitality. Paul and his companions tarried many days. Now, it's here in the home that the filling of the Holy Spirit is to be manifest. For when you read that passage in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He then speaks of the husband-wife relationship. And he speaks of the parent-children relationship. And the submitting of one to another in the fear of the Lord. And if a person can't be filled with the Holy Spirit in the home, it is in the home that the work of the Spirit of God is to be evidenced. It's easy to be a Christian on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It might be difficult after a hard day's work. And things don't go right when you get home. Someone may say the wrong thing. Someone may not pay attention. And that is where the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Word of God is most important. Now, Philip is a lot like Abraham. You see, he brought up his children for the Lord. He had four daughters who prophesied. God had something to say about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. God says concerning Abraham, for you remember that two angels were there, along with our blessed Lord, in Genesis chapter 18. The two angels turned and went to Sodom, you remember. But Abraham stood before the Lord. But before the angels left, the Lord said to the two angels, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do? Seeing he's going to command his children after me. He's not going to let his children do their own thing, but he's going to command his children after me. And when you put these two things together, the home where Philip was, the home of Abraham, we find that there are two things that we need to know if we're going to command our children after the Lord. First of all, we're going to have to know the principles of God's judgment and justice. Because Abraham was going to command his children after him, God could reveal to Abraham his principles. What was the principle that God revealed? The principle of judgment. Sodom is going to be judged. Sodom is going to be destroyed. And of course, with that comes a principle of divine investigation. You see, there's no place where divine investigation is more important than in the home. For God said of Abraham, he shall command his children after me. Now, usually, and in we're living in a day when this happens, when the feminists of today, they like to read this passage and they say, you see, Philip had four daughters who prophesied. And you don't permit women to preach in the church. And they usually turn to this passage. And they let you know what this passage says. And of course, you have to agree with what they say. The scripture says Philip had four daughters that prophesied. However, don't read into the word what isn't there. God had a message for his servant, who was a man by the name of Paul. Which one of Philip's daughters did he use? You know her name? He didn't use one of them. In order that God would not violate the principles that he has laid down in his word, he sent to Jerusalem for Agabus. And Agabus came down. And Agabus delivered the message of God to his servant Paul. There's a lesson here. God does not violate the principles of his word. What a blessing that is. When we behold these things without stretching the scriptures and simply taking them at their word. What do we learn from this? Three things. Number one, Philip was flexibly in touch with the Spirit of God. It didn't matter whether Philip was a deacon or an evangelist or a father. He is flexibly in touch with the Spirit of God. The second thing that we learn from this is that he was firmly in touch with the gospel. For God used this man in Samaria. God used this man in the desert to speak to one person. And God used this man in his home. For Paul and his companions were happy to be there many days. Are we firmly in touch with the gospel? Are we flexibly in touch with the Spirit of God? But that makes the third thing about Peter, about Philip. Philip was firmly in touch with the people of God. The people of God felt at home with Philip. Why? Because he was a man of God. Like Abraham, God could say of him, he will command his children after me. Why? It's evident that he did. Let's stand together for the benediction. Our Father, our desire this morning is to be flexibly in touch with the Spirit of God. Our desire is to be firmly in touch with the gospel so that we can tell it simply and tell it with power and authority. And help us, our God, to be fondly in touch with the people of God. And now we commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified. Through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.